Hello, everyone, and welcome to the ISO Review Podcast, a production of the International Management System Institute. The ISO Review Podcast shares the latest international standards development and is your resource for getting the most out of your management systems. This is Howard Fox, business coach and host of the Success Insight Podcast, and I am joined by Jim Moran, ISO Management System Professional, now celebrating his 30th year delivering ISO support. Jim, welcome back to another episode of the ISO Review Podcast.
Thanks so much, Howard. It's great to be here again, spending some time and sharing some ideas with our listeners. And how have you been doing?
I've been doing good, but I have to say, I think I got bamboozled today. You know how we get emails all the time? And a lot of times you can tell when you get these phishing emails. People want to give you money, you know, this somebody in some other country. But I got what appeared today that looked like a legitimate message from our friends at Facebook or Meta, whatever they call themselves, asking me, did I need to update my password because it looked like somebody had inadvertently tried to access it, or did I request a change to the password? And of course, I clicked the button, the link, it said, no, I didn't. And all of a sudden, things started to happen. So I went in and quickly shut the account down. It looked like Facebook has improved a little bit in how they handle these activities, but I reset my passwords across the board. But I think I got bamboozled. And I think today's topic is probably pretty pertinent or in some shape or fashion to what I just experienced.
I would have to say you're absolutely right, Howard. I got the same email myself, but I think it was only because I'm doing this sort of day in and day out, helping people build these information security management systems, that it even dawned on me that it could be a hoax because it was so perfect. Like, all the logos were right, the language was correct. And so many times if we have other accounts, and we really appreciate it when they send us a note saying somebody has access from a different IP address. But this, just there was just something about, I don't know what it was, the wording or whatever, that just caught my attention. So I didn't click on it. And I hope you're able to work your way through whatever is going to happen next. And we'll just have to wait and see what that is.
We'll have to wait and see. And what dawned on me too is these attacks, in this case for me, a phishing attack, companies have to be diligent to manage these kinds of risks. And it's a tough business.
Well, it is, because if somebody has 15 employees or 1500 employees, everybody uses a computer. And in some cases, people work on their computers all day long, and these things come in all the time. Now, larger corporations, of course, have firewalls that help keep some of this stuff out, but holy smokes, they're getting so good. And every single day, a new round of viruses will come out. And that's why, since there's so many humans involved, that's why one of the best keys to being safe in your organization, or even at home, for example, for that matter, is just train, and train some more. Create things in your organization, like having a clean desk policy and a clean screen policy. You can have your screen set so that it clicks off in 10 or 15 seconds if you step away. And that's kind of the thing that this standard, ISO 27001, helps people get organized. You could just be looking all the time and have the best firewalls that money can buy. Or you can actually build a system with a structure that helps your organization do a sort of a framework, build a framework, use a framework to be as safe as possible. And as far as cyber attacks go, personally and business-wise, it's not a case of if, it's a matter of when. It is going to happen. And the amazing thing is, I heard this in an interview with the fellow who was the subject of the movie, Catch Me If You Can, he's now gone into helping companies avoid cyber attacks and things like you just described. And he pointed out something to me that I'd never thought of. He said, all the cyber attacks in the world, probably most of them anyway, don't come from somebody from the outside figuring out how to break in. They come from the inside of an organization when one of the employees has not bothered to take notice of or follow through on some of the rules that your organization has built for you. And a lot of those rules, quote rules, are in the what they call the Annex A of ISO 27001. There are 95 specific requirements stated in there or noted in there that you need to meet in order to get certified to the standard. A few of them are for developing software companies, but the other over 90 of them could be for anybody. And that's where you can get the leg up on attackers is by having mechanical things in place, but then also impressing upon employees how vital it is to pay attention to what the processes say and what the checklists require and what the if you can in quotes rules say. So it was really fascinating. It gave me a whole new insight into this world of cybersecurity. The fact that it isn't the outside issue, it's the inside issue, and getting people to be aware of how they can impact the organization. And of course, the result is that an organization can literally be wiped out overnight, especially with the tremendous influx, if you will, or the tremendous area that information security could cover and the vast array of software companies use. And sometimes we have two or three layers of service providers. We have our main service provider. They might be outsourcing part of your service to another party. That party might be outsourcing it to an additional party. So somewhere along the line, there could be a weakness. So part of the idea here as well is to make sure that you're aware of who your initial provider is using as subcontractors or sub-service providers. It's sort of almost an endless loop, really. But yep, and it applies to virtually every organization in the world and virtually every human who has access to the internet in the world, for sure.
Sure. What does the information security management system and this framework, what does it look like for a company, whether it be a small company, medium, large company? And what does it look like for them?
Well, a lot of companies today are certified to ISO 9001, which is the quality management system requirements. And many are also certified to ISO 14001, the environmental management system standard. And they're both built on this term harmonized structure. It started back in 2013 with this particular standard. In fact, ISO 27001, they initiated it. Then 9001, 14001, those two standards adopted the same structure. In the beginning, it was called the high level structure. Now they call it the harmonized structure. And the reason they call it use those phrases for it is because they all use exactly the same headings for the various clauses of the standard. Clause 4 is context for all these standards. Clause 5 is leadership. Clause 6 is planning, which includes the risk part. Clause 7 is resources. 8 is operations. 9 is performance measurement. And 10 is improvement. So when you say, what does it look like? It technically, or from the word perspective, it looks like all the other popular standards that are around today. A few exceptions are 1345 medical devices, 17025 lab standard. But apart from those sort of unique specific standards, they all now look, they have the same structure. But on the other way you could use the word look would be how does it operate in an organization? Okay. And basically, what we do is we start with the phone call from the customer And then we go through till the bill for that order gets paid. And we look at all the steps along the way individually, and in many cases, in some detail, I wouldn't say great detail, but some detail, enough detail that we can discover where there could be a weakness in the handling of information that could make it compromised. The other thing to keep in mind is that the weaknesses identified today might either get bigger tomorrow, or they might disappear because of some action we can take to plug that particular hole. It's like the finger in the dike in some cases. But these days, when we talk about information security, it's more like a fire hose than a finger in a dike. And the other thing to remember is, or to keep in mind when you're talking about what does it look like, it's focused mainly on information that's moving from one place to another. Information is just being stored somewhere and is in kind of like a vault or an archive, anything like that, or it's just sitting there waiting to be used. That information can be kept fairly safe, fairly easily. The challenge comes when your consultant for your company is working with a client, and the consultant sends the client an email from a coffee shop or a hotel lobby or any other number of places that you don't control. And that's where the biggest weaknesses seem to be happening these days, the idea of moving information in an insecure path. So again, the training people need can really be helpful in reducing the chances of that information getting compromised. But just keep thinking, if you're imagining yourselves building one of these systems, just keep that fundamental thought in place, or you'll drive yourself nuts, because information can be compromised virtually anywhere. But the information that's sitting still is pretty safe, relatively speaking, and it's easier to get your arms around it. Information that's in motion, that's where the issues really start.
Okay. Any other requirements that the organization needs to be aware of to assure that safety?
Well,
of the assets?
It's never 100% assured, but yes, if you keep testing the system, some of the listeners have heard of a phrase of an activity called penetration testing. That's where you hire a professional organization to see if they can break into your system. They also will do tests of data being moved from one place to another. The standard requires that an organization audit themselves. They're called internal audits. And of course, your registrar has the responsibility to do external audits to begin with, to get your system certified in the first place. And then, of course, annual or semi-annual, if you want them, surveillance audits. So though the auditing activity definitely gives you an insight into how well your system is serving you and gives you a chance to find out ways to make the safety increase, make security increase. And there are sometimes we refer to those as improvements. What's one of the odd clauses of the standard is making improvements. And that's really where the financial value and the sleep at night value comes from. Having a management system is that you get to find ways to trim excessive procedures that aren't adding value, and of course, increasing safety at the same time, information security, and gives you a chance for your employees to have input, because they're the ones that are typically using your information system, and they're the ones who are going to either keep information from being compromised, or they'll forget to do something and information will get compromised. So they're definitely in the spotlight when it comes to designing and maintaining a system to keep it effective.
Okay. It sounds to me that, or seems to me that, this idea of the information security management system and its role in minimizing risk to managing the cyber attack, it's not only having the structure in place, but being able to communicate the benefit, and also to, if an organization does need assistance, that the plan is in place to do just that, is to introduce the system and to it's tested and the employees' leadership know the benefits. So maybe that's a discussion that we can have in some future episodes, as well as any additional guidance that you would be advising.
Sure. And by all means, if you're listening to the podcast and you have a specific question about how it could apply to you or how hard is it to do things like that, as Howard mentioned, first, the next episode is going to be about specifically the benefits of an information security management system. But we'll also be trying to find ways to relate it to your own circumstance, your own situation. And needless to say, Howard, there are literally, if not hundreds of thousands, perhaps even over a million articles on the internet about an information security management system. It's a tremendously valuable system to be able to add to what you have. And it, when you think of after the fact, just like a fire happening in your organization, you have fire disaster plans, you have recovery plans, and you do exactly the same thing with the cyber security as well. You have the plan, you test it whenever you can, as long as it doesn't jeopardize the company. And of course, just like any other protective measure, these things help build the resilience of your company. Business continuity, you might even refer to it that way.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. And before we head out, it's been a couple of weeks since you and I chatted last and produced for the podcast, but any events coming up that you want to make our listeners aware of?
Thank you so much for asking, Howard. On July 28th, I'll be doing a broadcast for BSI webinar. It's free, happens at 2:00 in the afternoon Eastern time. And people can join us, and you can even write in questions during the webinar as well. And you get a recording of the webinar afterwards. And they usually have an accompanying sort of document or something. In fact, this particular one, we're going to be giving away an Excel spreadsheet that's called a gap analysis tool to see how much you already have in place that might be protecting you, and then give you an idea of where you can strengthen your own system.
All right, Jim. So if our listeners to the podcast would like to learn more about you and the International Management System Institute, where are the best places for them to go?
Well, thanks for asking, Howard. The International Management System Institute website is imsipro.org. That's one space. There's a contact button there. The other place people can get in touch is at simplifyiso.com. And there's another About tab there, and there's a Contact tab there as well. And of course, many listeners here, I'm sure, are on LinkedIn as well. And our LinkedIn site is SimplifyISO on LinkedIn, or just Jim Moran in LinkedIn, and you'll find me there. If anybody's interested in training, we're developing a training approach for this type of implementation. It's thelearningalliance.ca, thelearningalliance.ca.
Okay, very good. Well, we will provide all the backlinks to imsipro.org, simplifyiso.com, as well as to your LinkedIn and to thelearningalliance.ca. So we'll have all those links in the show notes. Jim, it's so good to catch up with you again. Again, I hope you have a fantastic week out in Canada. I'm here in Las Vegas, so the broiler is now officially on here in Nevada. But hopefully, you have a little more reasonable weather. But again, so good to see you, and looking forward to coming back and expanding on our topics here of the risk and the managing of cyber attacks. And really good episode today, like, what is it? And now we can go on and kind of elaborate further about the benefits and what an implementation could look like, and if there's any specific guidance. So we'll definitely look forward to further unpacking of this very important topic.
Thanks very much, Howard, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds like a plan. All right, folks, you have just been listening to the ISO Review Podcast. It's a production of the International Management System Institute. You can find us online again at imsipro.org or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Take care now.